Yeah.
Your friend.
Yeah.
That's been cucking you. That it? Is
yeah.
that
yeah.
it?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Good job. Good
by,
job.
By that you know
been
about,
being cucked.
Yeah, you've been cucked by.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is playing
yeah.
your wedding song that
mm-hmm.
you guys
what?
Danced to?
Mm-hmm.
Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
She so is a long form performance artist.
Did
for
you
sure.
get
long form performance artist?
Did she remove your spine or did you get it removed younger?
This relationship is doomed.
Lousy bastard.
Get out of here. Trust me.
All right. Hey, y'all. It's Lace.
It's Catherine, and this is an episode of Cheaties Podcast. We're in the studios. We brought in a guest who teased us with a story. And it was a story.
Oh, yeah. It was a story. Quite the story. Quite the spilling of the beans. Spilling of los frijoles, if you will. Lots of deeds.
Yes.
He really just put it out there. Yeah.
I remember in the beginning almost wanting to be like, sir, you know, take some responsibility for yourself. But by the end, I was like, sir, I think you need to stand up for yourself a little bit more. I thought that he, in the beginning of the story, he sounded like he was calling the shots. And we learned quickly that he, for a good portion of his life, was letting someone walk all over him and walking into the butthole of many other people. So it's a great story. It's phenomenal. It has a happy ending. He told us a story with his girlfriend
yes.
in the room with us. And it was great. Okay, before we get into the story, let's do dates. Lace, where are you going to be?
This is a great question. I've got a few dates coming up. Not a lot of them are on the road. I've got the end of this week on the 9th, you can catch me down in Panama City Beach, Florida. I'm going to be at, well, you know what? They have it listed as Panama City Beach, but it's technically Miramar, and it's at the Emerald Coast Theater. You can catch me there on Saturday, March 9th. Then the following week, I will be hanging out in and around the Atlanta area. I'll be at Glover Park Brewery in Marietta at the Square. Big, beautiful venue. And then the next night, you can catch me at another show down in Decatur, Georgia. I'll have that listed on my website. The following week, I will be March 22nd in Saranby, that beautiful fairy tale of an area down south of Atlanta. I'm doing a really special gig down there. Catch me there. And then, most importantly, y'all catch me March 29th in Houston, Texas, opening up for Catherine Blanford. You know her, you love her. She's recording her special. So I will be there in Houston and then in Cincinnati the next weekend. But once again, all my dates you can find on lacelarabee.com or just click the link in my bio on Instagram. Catherine, where are you going to be?
A lot of places. Okay. This weekend, I'm going to be in St. Louis at the Funny Bone, March 7th, 8th, and 9th, and bringing our friend Allie Edge with me. And then a big announcement, Lace will be with me. I will be in New York City, March 12th. That's a Tuesday to tape for The Tonight Show. So tune in that night on NBC. I will be doing my second appearance with Mr. Fallon. And then Spade Weekend. And then, I did add some last minute things here and there because I am taping at the end of the month, March 29th in Houston at Riot Comedy Club. It's two shows. They will sell out. And so I'd love for you guys to come. I'm going to be in Texas with Spade that week before. So I just went ahead and added an Austin show to run my hour. So I'll be at Cap City Comedy Club Sunday, March 24th. I'm going to do my whole hour then if you're around the Austin area. I'll be there. And then I'm going to stop in Atlanta to get my hair done. So I'm going to run my hour in Atlanta that week at Laughing Skull Lounge, March 26th and 27th. Those tickets are all available at CatherineBlanford.com. But please come to my special and please tune into the night show. To the night show. Come to my special taping. Okay, that's it. Let's get to it.
Catherine, what a huge month. What a massive month. This is a, it's March is Women's History Month. And honestly, it's Catherine's History Month is what this is. This
it's
month.
Her story.
It's completely insane. It's her story. She's making her story, y'all. I'm so fucking proud. Mm-hmm. This is so great. Everybody go follow, go to the things if you can go. But more importantly, we want you to, enjoy this episode, folks. It's wild. It's crazy. It's such a ride. Yeah, you're going to feel all the feelings and, it's something else. So, are we ready, Catherine? Is there anything else?
Let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, enjoy our episode with
Adam McIntyre.
Hey, listener, you're about to hear a really juicy cheating story. Names and locations may have been changed to protect the guilty. We're not licensed therapists or lawyers. Hell, we barely have a driver's license. We're just two broke comedians who've been through some shit. And this alleged story is one-sided. If you know another side, please call our emergency redemption hotline at 888-STABBY-8. And yes, that is a real number. Now sit back, relax, and pour yourself a bowl of cheaties.
We're so excited. I this is my first time meeting you.
Oh, okay. So you're going to take it. I was going to introduce you to Adam, but please introduce yourself to Adam. Go ahead. Tell him about yourself. Go.
You're taking Lace's, you're taking Lace's class.
Yes.
Yeah. How long have you been doing comedy?
Not long. Not even long enough to talk about. I had been wanting to do stand-up because I have a band, and yeah. I had been storytelling and doing like a little stand-up in between songs.
Sure.
Wanted to get better at it, and then I took Lace's class last summer.
Oh, my God. And now people are going to be here going to see your band, and they're going to be like, God, it's a lot more talky, a lot less playy.
Yeah.
Huh?
Instead of simply being like, this guy is not good at his instrument, also, this guy is not funny.
Yeah. But you can, but that's fine. Musical comics, you just put music behind the jokes, and then and you can't tell that there's no laughter.
Right.
You fill it. You fill it with a guitar riff afterwards.
And we're not talking about anybody specifically when we say that. So, Adam, but you are a good musician. Your music is not a comedy. It's not comedy based music necessarily. You make good music. Like you're riffing in between. But here's the great part about that is. You have so much life to riff about in between your songs.
Happens when you get old.
You've lived, but here's the thing. You're not that old. And when I met you last summer, now you were in my level 2 class. Shout out Laugh Lab. Laughlabcomedy.com. Not a big deal. But you, when I met, I was like, when you would say things on stage that you were working on that week, I was like, what are we? We're gonna need hours. You can't work on a 5-minute set. We need to work on a 5-hour set. You have lived so many lives in your 40-ish years of life. It is absolutely insane.
Why? Where do you come from?
Right. Let's start
what
there.
What commune did you grow up on?
Okay. So,
how many religions?
I grew up in Alabama.
Well, so there that's we kind go. Of there
that's,
we go.
That's the whole fucking answer. Right there.
And that's okay. It. There you go.
What kind of building were you born in?
Is it a hut? If it was a building at all.
That's a great question. No,
what was
hospital.
It made out of?
I'm sorry. Did you
it
say
it was a thatched hospital?
A
Catherine,
girt?
Did you say a girt?
Yeah.
Instead that, of a yurt?
A yurt. Huh?
Did you say girt?
Somebody Google girt.
A girt. It's a yurt in Alabama, though. They call it a girt.
Girt is yeah, we don't. What you have if you have really bad acid reflux.
I can't even tell you. You know what? I don't even know what it is. To me, it's a oval. It's an igloo made out of mud.
Absolutely.
That's what a girt is. And it's an igloo made out of mud.
And
in Alabama.
Even that is not a yurt.
I don't know what it is. All week I've been saying things that like somebody. Whenever somebody says they give me advice, I'm just like, don't be patronizing. I have no idea if that's right. Is that right?
It could be right though. No. In that context, if someone is being, if you feel like they're like kind of cutting you down a little bit when they're talking, that's patronizing you.
Okay. Well, don't be patronizing to me.
Well,
okay?
I'm always going to be patronizing.
It's a great way to shut somebody down too.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel a girt in their gut, and the baby comes out in Alabama. Okay, so you're born in Alabama.
Yeah.
How many religions have you belonged to?
Where like in zero. Alabama, too? Let's start where in Alabama.
Lower
because,
Alabama.
Okay, because there's so many different parts of Alabama.
Right, LA, lower Alabama.
Sure.
So from a small town just south of Montgomery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Love it. Do we know the name? Let's shout out the name real quick.
Raymer. Raymer, okay. Alabama.
It's not,
might be the only Raymerian to ever be on a podcast so far.
Raymer. It seems, it sounds inappropriate. Like, sure. when she gets old enough, I'm a Raymer.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
And you're imagining 12, 13, I'm sure.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. That's too old, almost, to Raymer.
Okay.
Old maid.
Yeah. Old, she's an old maid at that point. She's probably already got 2-3 of them kids, you know?
So, Adam,
what are we doing?
You're born in a GIRT in Raymer, Alabama. You've lived a life.
This is the day I leave the podcast.
What? Let's get into the story. Who is Adam at the beginning of the story? Like, where are you at this point? Where's your life going? What direction? Who do you want to be? What do you want to do?
Are you a musician yet?
What do I want to be when I grow up, essentially?
Yeah.
So, really, the story begins with me being stalked by an ex-girlfriend.
Sure.
Yeah.
is this the lady that turns into the wife?
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Well,
but this is why I need to know. How'd you meet her to begin with when she started stalking you?
Different girl. So I had broken up with a girl and the breakup didn't take. And then 2 years. Yeah, that's right. 2 years later.
I hate that. I hate when the breakup doesn't take.
Right.
Like a medicine.
So every single time I went to the mall, I parked my car at the mall. And I would have a note waiting for me when I got back to my car.
Oh, no.
If I went to a restaurant, she would be sitting in a car nearby. She tried to figure out where I worked, so she would tail me, and I would lose her at an intersection, and I'd find her parked at that intersection the next day, ready to pick up the trail. One day, after she figured out where I worked, I'm going to answer the question now. One day, a different girl delivered a message for my stalker. Because she knew that, like, my stalker was not allowed in my place of business anymore where I was working repairing guitars. And so this girl delivers me a message, and we meet for the very first time, and that girl is the person that my story is about.
The messenger for the stalker?
Yeah.
Okay. Is who in...
Yeah.
Do you want to call her the messenger for the rest of the story?
Yes,
she's,
I like
the
that.
Messenger.
You're in Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay. How old-ish are you?
17.
Okay, a youngster.
Wow.
Right. And you've got something about you that girls just can't let go of.
Right.
And what is it? What is that thing, Adam?
And my girlfriend is over here gesturing, making a gesture. Do you want to do that one more time?
Oh, it's because his big dick?
Oh,
listeners,
or a long ponytail.
Right.
Listeners, he has a very long ponytail. A thick, long, lustrous ponytail.
So you've got some volume.
That everyone's interested in.
Okay, so you date girls who don't have jobs and they spend all day stalking you.
Right.
She sends a messenger. You meet her. She, you see her putting the note on your car.
Yeah, she comes right up to me and delivers a message, to which I read the message and I say, so? It was whatever it was totally boring. So we actually met again a couple of days later at a college night.
I'm so sorry. I really want to get into this and I want to find out
all
the next stuff.
It's all super confusing and shocking already.
No. I'm just more concerned with the first girl who was stalking you to begin with. I know she's not she's not the main character in this, but y'all were dating? And then she couldn't take no for an answer and just followed you around. She had no job. She just had time to follow you.
She continued to know my phone number regardless of where I lived until I was in my mid-20s. And the most recent time she contacted me was probably 7 or 8 years ago when I was maybe 42, 43.
Holy shit.
This girl's got skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to hire her for the pod. Is she on LinkedIn?
She's good at research, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Which just sounds like someone our listeners would be interested in knowing. That's all.
Right. Would you leave her breadcrumbs?
No.
A little bit?
No.
You liked it a little bit?
I did not like it. I found the whole experience fairly terrifying.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. It's not good. All right. So, just need to know if there was any story. So her buddy, she sends to you. Y'all meet. It's on.
She goes right up to you with a note.
You show her the peen immediately? No.
When we met at the college night and she was in front of my ex, I had a couple of thoughts. She's kind of cute. And boy, wouldn't it piss the first girl off if I started flirting with her right in front of her. And that was a dick move, but exactly the kind of thing that I would do when I was 17.
Sure.
Well, you're 17. You're still a fucking little piss ass kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
all right.
This is the romance starts budding here.
Right.
Where do you go?
So we kind of pretend to be friends for a while, and then it becomes more of a romantic relationship after, I guess, like 6 months or something like that. And, you know, we're really, really taking it slow, and we're taking it so slow, in fact, that I intend to not ever sleep with this girl.
You're not going
to
sex her.
I am about to go off to college. I don't need a girlfriend, you know, sure. From my hometown. I don't want like a long distance relationship.
Yeah.
And before I leave town, middle or late summer, she coerces me after I've said I don't want to a few times. She coerces me into having sex with her.
But you did BJs before.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was the P and the V that was
yeah,
the problem.
I did not want to take it to the next level.
Sure.
I was kind of like scared of that.
Okay.
Sure.
And what that would entail. And I was right.
It sounds, I mean, knowing what I know now, it's definitely, I know where this is going. Okay. So I also have to keep this all in the reference of like you were 17. I think in my head when you have told me in class what the story was.
You're picturing man.
I'm picturing like adults, but now that it's coming from the POV of a 17-year-old, this is, I understand. Okay, because everything feels like the end of the world. Everything feels like that's a big deal. If you go from BJs to PNVs, it feels very like, oh God, this is it. This is a big, we
I'm
all know
grown
now.
Up now.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. So
we do the deed.
Yeah.
You do the deed. Now y'all are connected on another level. Yeah. So.
Forever.
Yeah.
Oh God. Okay.
And what she happens? Decides that she is going to follow me to off to college.
Sure.
So she starts going to the school right up the street. And I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 months into it, I start getting like some strange indications from her friend that like this guy came by, you know, or she's been talking to this person in another town. I'm, you know, at this point, like we're not engaged or anything.
Sure.
You know, like
our kids,
whatever, but like. You know, I don't know anything about this other person. And she starts talking to this guy from Atlanta.
Oh, no.
And we're in Nashville at this point.
Oh, no.
And she's still telling me, like, she's super possessive of me, won't let me talk to other girls. And, like, the real jealousy stuff hasn't even started up yet. The jealousy stuff became, like, so unbearable during the relationship that that's one of the things that I'm still kind of, like, going to therapy about.
Sure.
But she...
Dude, this many years later, that's still fucking with
you? If you don't fix it right away, it doesn't mean that, like, you just get to ignore it forever. Like,
sure.
If it continues to, like, affect your behavior, you have to see about it at some point.
Yeah.
And so I've been trying to kind of unravel all of this stuff. And this, like, extreme jealousy stuff was one of the things. But I found out that she... Well, I went by to pick her up for the weekend. Because we would go stay at my mom's, who had just moved right up the street. So, you know, we get to go have sex on the weekends, you know, at my mom's house, where she's just moved up to Nashville, too.
Your mom has?
Yeah.
Something about you is very addicting. A lot of women follow you wherever you go.
Everyone's following you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. Okay. So your mom, your girlfriend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are both in Nashville now.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
And she's very jealous. She's very, she wants you all to herself.
Yeah, very possessive.
Possessive.
And
yet she's got boys coming and going.
And yet she's got a guy coming from another town, and she disappears for a whole weekend without a word. There's no warning. Her friend says, like, yeah, this guy came and got her. And she said they were going to a hotel.
How long have y'all been dating at this point?
A year and a half, something like that.
And you didn't say, cool, bye-bye, bitch?
No.
Okay, well, Adam, why?
Well, there's definitely some questions that I have for younger Adam about that.
Okay.
And one of the first things that pops up in my mind is that this you know, not super unusual for how I grew up.
Okay.
Like, my parents fought pretty much from the moment I got home until the time we went to bed.
Sure.
And I would go to my room, close the door, pick up a guitar, and I would play for 4 hours, kind of waiting for it to end, and then, you know, go check it out, make sure the coast is clear, have some dinner, and go to bed.
Sure.
So to me, this level of drama is perfectly normal. And yet I hate it, but it feels very comfortable.
Right.
But it's what relationships are.
Yeah. That's what relationships are supposed to be like.
To you.
Damn it. Yeah.
Yep.
The chaos is comfort.
Right.
Chaos is comfort. Okay.
Are you so proud of yourself?
Yeah,
with
like
that one?
Yeah.
You're writing that one down?
I'm going to put it on a pillow.
I like it.
So you're fine with this. So she disappears. She comes back. You don't ask any questions.
I had had a panic attack for about 12 hours, and I certainly had some questions. And I waited outside for her, outside of her dorm room all night that first night, on a park bench.
Damn.
And when she didn't show up, I went over to my mom's house, and they were like, okay, so it looks like you're having a panic attack. Mm. And they gave me, like, it was probably a beta blocker.
Sure.
And I slept and woke up and resumed calling hotels, asking if my girlfriend was there, driving around trying to find her. Like, there's no reason for me to have done any of that stuff. I didn't have to sweat this at all. I could have just ended it.
You acted like, you were acting like she was in danger and she was clearly in ecstasy.
Right. Exactly.
She was... fine.
And I see that
she put you
now.
Yeah. But there's no cell phones at this point or anything.
No. And just so I'm 18 and I definitely perceive her as being in danger. Like, I don't know, she's being taken advantage of by this older guy.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
And
she's being taken advantage of, all right.
She shows up on Sunday evening and says, I don't want to talk about it.
Whoa.
I forbid you to ever talk about it.
Adam.
I love this girl. Okay, and you have a soft heart, and you go, okay. As long as you're here.
Right.
We don't have to talk about anything.
I love this.
What do you need to eat?
We ask our guests always beforehand, please tell us the red flags as they happen in the story.
And here's one.
And yours is, oops, all red flags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because from day one, moment one.
Absolutely.
Messenger from your stalker ex, she is there. It's just nothing but no. Turn around.
It's very hard to watch.
Don't go into the marsh. That's a Six Flags. It's an Atlanta Six Flags reference.
It is?
Yeah, Monster Mansion.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Don't go into the marsh.
So she goes, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah.
You're a young kid. You go, okay, everything is fine.
Yeah.
And you resume your...
feed her instead.
Yeah. Your fake romance.
Right.
Wow.
Everything goes back to normal, or so it seems for a while. And then she drops out of school and wants me to get a place with her. Mm-hmm. And so we had a duplex that was like $200 a month. And it had like a hole in the floor.
Is this the 1930s?
Yes. Like that went straight. Yeah.
Wow.
This is the 90s.
Yeah, baby.
The 90s in Nashville.
What a good time.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
The neighborhood was a war zone.
Sure.
And so more weird stuff starts up around this time. Like, not only are we having like lots of great sex, and she's absolutely fucking crazy, obviously. So it's wonderful sex.
That leads to good sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now this thing starts up where I'm in college, also working a job. And if I mention a female coworker, which they're 90% of my coworkers are female, I'm bound to have a friend at work who is a woman at some point.
How dare.
And I have to hear about the one time I mentioned this one girl at work. Oh, she said something funny.
Yeah.
I have to hear about it for 6 months.
This is my whole 20s.
Yeah.
This is a direct spaceship time travel.
You?
Back to my 20s. Yes. Just remembering that level of, and it's because of the ex that was the catalyst for me asking Catherine to start this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, you're just dating a girl.
I remember being so stressed about any name that was brought up because he was giving me the feeling all the time that he was cheating. Mm-hmm. And then so any name, I was like, is that it? Is that her? Yeah. Is it the one? But anyway,
you're dating somebody that's really insecure and young and doesn't have any way to regulate her emotions or feelings. Yeah. But you're also young as hell.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so how dare you look, acknowledge, or breathe the same air as another female?
Right.
Yeah, and you're paying for it. God damn it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I was, so she would start punishing me for any time I saw a movie where there was a hot girl in it. So, like, I couldn't see Austin Powers. She starts policing the So she starts policing the shows that I'm watching. She'll come into the room and change the channel if she thinks I'm like watching Xena Warrior Princess or something that.
Do you think she just you're only allowed to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but
Pretty much.
Have to cut out all the April? She goes in there and cuts out all the April scenes.
She knew that I had a thing for April, so it makes sense. It makes sense that
it's all Donatella for you, Adam.
Here's the thing that people at that age, and you know what, honestly, I've known people in way further in adulthood, in their 30s and 40s. I'm sure you might even know a friend or two like this. I've had a friend or two like this over the years, which are still like that. It's so weird to be like that past like high school, to still be like, you can't look at a hot girl. I still know people like that. And here's what happens. If you deny your partner of even looking at hot people, you're pushing them to go out of their way to look at hot people more and more and more.
In their free time.
Do you see what I'm saying, though? Is like the more you say you can't, if you put a big old X and you go, you can't do this, you can't do this, that person, even if they weren't even thinking of that before, they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to do that.
Now it's taboo.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that thing. It's like parents who say, don't masturbate. You're locking every door. You're rubbing it on every surface.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden the couch cushions get a little crusty.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe in the same turn, like if your partner, if you're like, ooh, this person, I think that person's hot, and your partner or whatever's like, yeah, they are. You go, come on, you want to be a little jealous, and then they're not, and then all of a sudden it's not as exciting anymore.
Was that bad Australian or Southern? That accent you just did.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was
perfect.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So agreed. Yeah, if they're in it with you, it doesn't feel as taboo. I love that. I think that's the perfect. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so she's doing weird shit. This is childish. This is so ridiculous. She's,
yeah.
Okay. So y'all are together. You're blah blah blah. She's being weird, controlling.
Obviously, I'm going to propose to her.
Oh shit. Oh shit. You're like what? 18, 19?
Yeah. I'm like.
Yeah. Where are we now?
20.
Oh god.
Oof. 3 years of this shit.
Yeah.
Right.
In school?
So, yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm verging on dropping out.
Sure.
And so she's back in our hometown at this point. She's no longer in Nashville. She's, flunked out or whatever, dropped out, can't live up there anymore. And she is just really beside herself with jealousy. So I ask her to marry me, so that we can move in together in Nashville and like resume being together and resume our lives together. And once the date was set, a strange problem started where she would say that, and this is sudden, this is absolutely out of the blue, she would say that sex was painful for her.
Hmm.
And we'd get a little bit into it and she'd, nope, we got to stop.
Hmm.
And then she plants this idea and she starts repeating it every time we attempt to have sex. You know, I wonder if I had sex with your friend, if it would hurt.
That's a really good point, and that's a good idea. And I really love how innovative she is.
Yeah.
She's creative.
And she wound up.
What
Here's
an
the
artist.
Thing. She
what
was,
an artist.
She was right.
It didn't hurt as much.
It didn't,
with your
it didn't hurt at all
That's
with my friend.
So crazy.
And so this was,
That's
you know.
So wait, crazy. How
so
that
you
happens.
Said, yeah, you should try.
You know, she had been suggesting it for several months. And I was like, I'll try anything at this point.
And by you try, you were like, I'll take a step back.
Yep.
and I'll let him try.
Sure.
And at no point did you say, get the fuck out of my house, lady.
That's a really good point.
This is my biggest question. You leaned into the what?
Did you get to watch?
No. No. Why? Why is that hot?
I got to get out of the bus. What's the I have to.
Is that something people like?
You couldn't have even watched. She wasn't even recommending a fun cuckold situation.
No, no, no. Wow.
It was a, I'm going to go away from you and intimately fuck your friend.
Yeah.
And
because that feels better.
And it feels better. And it felt so good. Thank you so much. Just take my word for it that it didn't hurt and it was great. But you have no, but please don't turn on TV because there could be a hot woman on it.
Right. Yeah. So you're both getting your needs met.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And here's what I mean when I say both of us are getting our needs met. So we have not sex since 6 months before the wedding.
Sure.
Because she wants the wedding night to be special.
Right.
I have told the story of our wedding night so many times, I don't really feel like it's totally necessary.
No,
but
no,
needless
no, no,
to
no.
say.
It is wildly necessary on this podcast
no,
today.
So you've planned the whole wedding. Like you've put in a lot of thought and money and
no, I was a guy. I was a 20-year-old guy, so.
But has she planned it? Are there flowers? Are there catering?
Are there centerpieces?
Invites.
Yeah.
The first dance song has been chosen. Mm-hmm. Is she dancing it with you or your friend with the not hurting her penis?
My friend played the song that we, what? Is that funny? That we dance to.
Wait.
Yeah.
Your friend. Yeah. That's been cucking you. That it? Is that
yeah, 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 yeah. Good job. Good job.
By that
you've
know
been
about,
being cucked.
Yeah, you've been cucked by.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is playing your wedding song that you guys
what?
Danced to?
Mm-hmm.
Girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is hilarious.
She so, is a long form performance artist.
Did
for
you
sure.
get
long form performance artist?
Did she remove your spine, or did you get it removed younger, or when have you had it put back in?
It happens later.
Sure.
It
sure.
happens at some point during the next relationship. Yeah. It happens, but no.
Wow.
See, some people when we're in school, we have the scoliosis test, and when they went and checked everybody, they got to Adam. They're like, no spine.
Yeah. They literally
how.
You're fine. You're good.
They're you will never have scoliosis spine. If you have no spine.
It's wild. So you, oh my gosh. Oh, okay. So she plans the whole thing. She's like, oh my God, everybody that will have this guy I'm effing do our wedding. This guy, the DJ I'm already effing. Sure. Everybody.
Yeah. Caterer. Oh. You'll probably get a good discount for the caterer because she was fucking that dude too.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. Oh, this is fantastic. Okay, so you go into the wedding. This is...
Catherine, I told you.
Yeah.
I told you. All right, keep going. It gets crazy. It's
hilarious because you allow all these things to happen to you, but yet women are flocking to you. They stalk you at the same time. You're such a juxtaposition. Adam, you're so complex.
So, and I think some of that complexity is due to being from Alabama.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, that makes sense. It's just, you're such a species. Okay. So she plans the whole wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. You watch, you always go on the altar. She fucks the minister.
Right.
And then, okay. And so then you're at your wedding.
He says,
does anything happen before the night of the wedding?
Yeah.
At the wedding, the preacher says, do you take this woman to be your bride? And he goes, yes. And then he takes her off his dick and then he hands her to you. And that's a beautiful moment listed in the Bible about how all weddings should take place.
Yeah, he takes his cock ring off.
Yes, he pulls it off.
So she has told one of the groomsmen, I don't know why I'm marrying this guy.
Ay, ay, ay.
I find that out about, I don't know, 3 years later.
Sure.
When the information is far more useful. Useful in hindsight.
Right.
So she gets so fucked up at the reception, and I mean like drunk and stoned, drowned, that we have to spend a couple of hours on the side of the road on the way to the honeymoon for her to, like, she's getting, like, diarrhea and throwing up.
So hot.
On the side of the road, in the mud. Oh, it's raining. Mm. And...
Ringworm too.
Mm. And I don't know. We've been sitting there for about an hour with her just like convulsing on the side of the road. And I try to pick her up and she screams like somebody's stabbing her. And I set her back down and I see a light in the distance turn on, like somebody's house down the road. Because they've just, you know,
sure.
It's the middle of the woods in Alabama. Yep. You can hear shit from miles away. And sure enough, I don't know, like 7 minutes later, I see this car coming and they turn their blue lights on. And this state trooper like points a flashlight in my face and starts asking me questions. And while he's asking me questions, I remember that I've never gotten stoned at this point, but I had confiscated a bag of weed from her that she was in the middle of like smoking. And so I smell this skunky weed in my pocket while I'm talking to a state trooper, and I'm just going, hey, you know, I'm from right here up the road. I know that my tag says Tennessee, but like, I'm from right up the road. You probably know, you know, who my dad is.
Sure.
You know our family. I went to school right down that way. Like, and we're, you know, on our way down to Destin after getting married or being at a wedding. And he sees her and he starts trying to ask her questions, and she's just, to every question the state trooper asks her, do you know what day it is? And he like tries to get her into the car also, and she screams at him. There's no difference.
Cool move.
Yeah.
Scream at a cop every time you have a chance.
And he gets the picture pretty quickly that like, I'm just fucked.
Sure.
You know, this is going to take a while. I'm just going to have to put up with this. And he's like, just don't make her scream like that again, or I'm going to be right back over here. Okay, just take your time, let her sober up some, get her in the car if you can. You need to be on your way, but like, you know, I see the predicament that you're in. And then
that's a weird thing to say.
So weird, yeah. So weird. Don't make her scream like that again.
Right.
Okay. Because there's a part of me that's like, I'm obviously on your team, and I'm like, I'm hoping a cop comes and kind of gets mad at you a little bit, but instead he's like, I see this is a crazy bitch. I'm used to dealing with those. I had one of those myself.
Right.
Just don't make the pig squeal the same way again.
Right. Good old boy.
Yeah.
Oi.
And
even though she's a bad guy, it's still
such
weird situation.
Yeah.
Situation.
Okay, this sounds like his dad was the founding father of Raymer.
Right. He created Raymer.
His dad was Uncle Raymer.
You locked it in.
John Raymer.
Good job.
And I mentioned something about like, you know, we're heading down to our honeymoon, and he's like, hang on. This was y'all's wedding?
Oh, God.
And he thought this was fucking hilarious. He can't stop fucking laughing. And he's like, hang on. Our department just got digital cameras for all of the cars. Do you mind? And he takes a picture of us up against, you know, the side of my SUV. And I'm just standing there in my tux like this. And she's leaning up against my tire in like her wedding gown, like there's puke on her mm-hmm. shoulder, you know, a little bit of diarrhea back here, mm-mm. mud all over the back of her dress. Mm-mm. So we posed for that picture.
No, why did she say
why that? Why do you keep doing why? These things, why? Adam? Why? Have you ever said no?
Yeah.
This doesn't make Adam look great.
No.
Have you ever said that once in your effing life?
No. No, absolutely not. Not okay. Until maybe 5 years ago.
Okay. So the cop is literally laughing in your face.
Yes.
He's like, will you pose for this picture?
You gotta pose.
And you grab your puke diarrhea wife.
Yep.
Oh, God.
As she's screaming.
Oh, God.
To pose for a picture.
It's a magical moment.
Yeah. Okay. So he takes the picture.
He goes on his way. After about an hour, I get her back in the car. And I have to make little promises along the whole way. Like, I'm not going to start the car. Okay, I'm going to start the car, but I'm not going to turn the radio on. Because she's like, if anything happens. Like, she's going to throw up.
Didn't she throw up enough?
No. She was not quite done at that. I think we had to pull over another time before we were, like, really on our way. So anyway, we get down there. I carry her over the threshold for some reason. And I give her a bath. She gets her period. And that's why she doesn't want to have sex on her wedding night. which that was okay. It was, you're making the same face, and I feel like maybe I didn't do the right thing yet again.
No, I get this.
But we
this
never,
bitch
we never
can
did have sex.
Summon her period, which
yeah.
is,
yeah.
you know what
insane.
I need right now?
Insane.
Period.
A period.
Yeah. She's like, I've done it. I've pulled out every other stop to not have sex with my husband tonight. You know what I'm going to do? Period.
I'm gonna I've puked and shit. It's time to start bleeding.
I've puked. I've shit. I've embarrassed him in front of a cop. Yeah. I fucked the cop. He recognized it. I fucked all the groomsmen and the priest half the fucking way. Ugh. Now we're finally here Woo! At the honeymoon suite where it's all supposed to happen. Period.
Period. And that's what stops Adam. Okay. So
it gets worse from here.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
That's when things started to get bad.
That's when things started to get bad.
And then, and that's when Adam thinks something feels a little fishy.
Yeah.
Something all of a sudden feels a little off.
Things genuinely start to feel uncomfortable when I get back to Nashville.
Okay.
I'm shocked.
You bring your wife back
yep,
with you.
Yep. And she starts just talking to lots of dudes. And she also needs my passwords. So she is keeping tabs on all of my emails. And she is, I don't know, like conversing with 5 to 10 different guys at any given time over the next 2 years.
How do you know that?
Well, they'd come over. Or she would go over to their place. Once again, I feel like something's wrong from their reaction. Is this not how y'all spent your early 20s? So one time I click on a new folder on the desktop that we share, and it's got some blah name like DSC1203 or something like that. And it's pictures of her having a threesome with these two guys that she's
Adam!
Friends with.
Adam!
Yes.
Wait, have you guys agreed on an open relationship at all?
No, but I mean, there's an understanding for sure.
I think there is. I think there's an unspoken understanding.
Well, the understanding
that she's
is
she's gonna fuck everybody.
Yeah,
and you're gonna go, okay, thank you.
And then but you're gonna like it.
She keeps telling me that just maybe a couple more people, and it won't hurt for her to have sex with me anymore.
Oh, it's still this is still the excuse.
Yes,
it's still the excuse.
Wait. She yes. was like, you really hurt me.
Yeah,
I need three guys going in me at the same time.
Right.
And that feels better.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. This makes...
The whole time, are you fighting back? Are you going...
Okay, so that's an interesting point. So,
have you had sex at all?
Not, no. I mean, in the years before we got engaged, lots.
And then, no, none.
None.
Because it's going to hurt.
Right. Yes. So that's still the ploy at this point.
And at no point did you think, yeah, you know what? I'm seeing pictures of you fucking other dudes. You're saying you're doing this. We haven't agreed. I'm going to go to the bar tonight.
So let's
I'm going to grab myself a local hussy.
Right.
At no point you're getting yours in.
I did email a friend about trying to set up a threesome with her and my wife.
That's the lamest thing I've ever heard in my whole life. After all of those other things, you emailed a friend to try to see if maybe they would fuck your cheating wife.
No, she was down.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So you send an email so that because you were like...
But you still needed to involve her in the situation that she was not involving you in. And you at no point thought, you know what? I'm going to go get mine. You're a kid. You're young.
So
we've already established you have a huge dong. Why are you not out slinging it around town?
Because she had convinced me that nobody else would ever want me and that I was gross and disgusting and that she was the only person that would ever love me. She had made this very, very clear through a series of speeches I call the every night speeches. Let me tell you another element to the story that we haven't hit on yet. If I was late coming home from work, I would get screamed at for like an hour, hour and a half.
Why would you put up with that for more than 1 minute?
One time, yeah.
More than 1 minute of the one time.
If I had a gig that I was supposed to go to, I'd load up my stuff in the car to go leave the house, and she would throw a tantrum because I had a show. And she's like, I don't have anything to do. And I'm like, well, you can come with me. She's like, well, you didn't invite me.
Oh. You know,
you don't want me there.
I've been, this is going to go off the rails, but hear me out. I like her.
Sure.
And I think we need her.
Right.
But just in a different context. No. Come on in.
Come on
in. I've been
in.
Listening to this podcast about dictators. Mm-hmm. Real dictators is what it's called. Mm-hmm. I feel like she would have been an equal opponent to Saddam Hussein. I feel like she could have put
for
Saddam
sure.
out of power, and she could have taken over.
Oh, for
and I
sure.
With followers like 20-year-old Adam, absolutely.
I think we need to pull her out of Alabama and Nashville and have her challenge. Where is that guy in North Korea?
He's in North Korea.
What's the yeah. guy's name?
It's Kim Jong Un.
I think she would be a equal opponent to Jim Gandun.
I can't. Oh,
and I like her, and I think she has a very specific set of skills that we need to put to use. So,
you're probably right about that.
Okay, so she.
And here's the problem with equality. Is that women aren't given the opportunity to live their full potential of being dictators.
She would be right. a great dictator.
If we were just given the same, you know, openings in life that men are given, we could also run small countries of sad, scared men.
Come on. Imagine
doesn't
a whole
have to
village
just be
of
one,
Adam.
But right. a whole bunch of them.
And yeah. it almost was.
Yeah. We'd have... This is so bad. We'd have your little pee-pees tied on a little leash, and we'd be like, get to work.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you're just click. So every night you click through pictures of her having sex with 8 men at a time.
Right.
When do you go, hey, Adam doesn't love this. Do you ever say that?
You know, anytime I would voice that I had a problem with it, the cops would show up.
Jesus Christ. After the first time the cop showed up, you continued to deal with this bitch?
Mm-hmm. And Adam. Adam, did you think it was weird when the cop showed up, they would start stripping on her?
Yeah. You think it was weird when they came in and they'd wink at her?
And then right. she'd stuff dollar
we'll
bills.
See you later.
Yeah. It's weird, Adam.
And then when
okay.
they left, you would see an impression on her tits of their badge.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you think that was a weird thing?
Was
that
it
you
weird
saw?
That? Yeah. They.
Why
had
do
her...
you all have sheriff stars?
Yeah.
Sheriff stars.
Impressions yeah. of sheriff stars on her hips.
This is real.
Okay. So how do we get to Adam?
Wow.
Freedom?
Yeah. Where does the freedom trail?
Well, I decided to leave her a couple weeks after she decided to leave me. She actually had kind of relocated to Louisville. And I have
yay,
a joke
Louisville!
That she was...
That's her Catherine's hometown, Louisville.
Yeah.
She made the Mecca back to where the
dude, yeah.
where all the hoes come
she's
from.
She's our governor. She's our top Kentucky colonel.
And where do you go from there? Dictator.
Yeah. Dictator.
She had been spending more and more time in Kentucky and really liked the Rocky Horror cast up there. And,
sure.
And they're...
Was she an actor? Was she a performer? Other than with her performances at home and in front of the police, and
yeah,
If she's listening right now, I will say that she was a born performer, but she had not quite found her her muse or style yet, and
had been looking,
and she had definitely been looking,
yeah.
She tried so many things. She went to so many openings.
Auditions.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open auditions.
Yeah,
open auditions. Casting couches. Auditions.
And she just stayed up there one time. She stayed up there for like a week and then dropped back in to start grabbing her stuff and was like, see ya. Mm-hmm. And was like, you know, I want to take a break. Okay, great. And I started talking to other girls at that point.
Yeah. How long into this relationship are we now?
We are at 7 years. And have that you was had 2 sex? Years to, as of now.
At once you got married.
No.
As of now.
We never had sex as a married couple.
Wow.
So I will.
She had lots of sex.
She had lots of sex. I just wasn't in the room for it. So I do have one more little scoop on top of this already like horrible ice cream cone.
Rocky horrible.
Yeah.
Ice cream cone.
And that's the name of the episode. She actually contacted me and was like, hey, my boyfriend and I are coming through town. I know that you live in Atlanta now.
How many days after she left the house did she send you this message?
This is years.
Okay. Did you get a legal divorce at this point?
We got a legal divorce.
Okay.
And it was super cheap. I don't think you can even do things this cheap anymore. It was, you know, maybe $75 or something like
that. Holy shit.
That at least I think we're divorced.
I was going to say, that might not be legal.
Hopefully she's not about to come in and tell me otherwise.
She's too busy.
She's so busy. You're doing this podcast with two women.
So in the meantime, she's going to be so pissed.
My wife's going to be so pissed.
My dad had died after we got divorced, but before this meeting. And she had taken off with one of my dad's shirts that I had like kind of recently brought home. I was like, you know, I think this shirt looks cool. And it was like the first of my like pearl snap button kind of westerny shirts, which I, you know, will normally wear on stage now. And it was maybe a little bit too small for me. And she took off with it. She like was like, I'm going to give this thing a better home. And she starts wearing it. And then so she stops by with her new boyfriend. We go out and like basically just play pool. For an evening, just like catching up. I really like her new boyfriend. He seems like a really nice guy. And
more than all of her other boyfriends.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Much better than like the other like 35, 40 sure. guys. Mm-hmm. And as we're being introduced though, I point at him and say, hey, is he wearing my dead dad's shirt?
No.
And she laughs. Yeah, it is.
This is how serial killers are born.
And the guy looks at me like, I didn't. And I'm like, no, I know you didn't.
Yeah, I know you didn't. He didn't know.
And we had a talk about it. Like, she went to the bathroom and I said, you didn't know that that was my dad's shirt, did you? He's like, no, she told me to wear it.
Were you like,
she told me to wear it.
Give me the shirt and run away right now.
And he was like, I'll take it off right now. And I was like, nope. It doesn't fit me anyway. You keep it. And they broke up like the next day.
Good. Good for him.
And I was like, you can just do that?
Oh, Adam.
Yeah. So that's how I found out that you can just break up with people when they're being like absolutely psychotic.
You could just do it.
You don't have to just take it forever.
You don't have to at all, ever, really. You don't.
So, Adam, have you ever...
I don't think our entire listenership has ever wanted to hug a guest at one time as they do right now.
Have you ever...
Have
you like been to therapy? Have you ever like hit something since?
Yeah.
Have you ever... like?
Hit
have
someone,
you ever,
I feel
Have
like...
you ever said like, no...
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't support hitting women, but
not her, but
this broad was asking for it.
Yeah.
So
punching bag,
like a bag with her face on.
Well,
let me
tell you, I never cheated on her.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. And this is going to be something that maybe your listeners need to hear before they try to give me a hug. Cheating entered my repertoire because of that experience.
Sure.
After that relationship, sure. I was like, fuck this.
Yep. You're like,
I'm going to take back what was taken from me before.
Yep.
I'm going to make other people feel the way she made me feel. And
that
so
sucks, man.
I drank a lot.
Ugh.
And I hurt people a lot after that. And, at 31, I finally started going to see a therapist. And we dealt with all sorts of shit for the longest time. But I got to say, anytime I brought up first wife with my therapist, he was in over his head.
Sure.
He would be like, you need to journal about this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, I've written a lot of songs about it. I feel like I've kind of like talked about it as much as I can. And I went to, see, this is the other like really awful part, is that I eventually had to admit this super deep, dark secret that I had never wanted to tell anybody because I thought that it made me utterly broken and just a complete psycho. But every single time, and this is starting maybe 6 months later after she left me, anytime I was having sex with somebody, I would have to imagine killing my first wife in order to orgasm.
Dude, you, and I don't, this is, I don't, she turned you from Forrest Gump into Lieutenant Dan.
Yes. That's beautifully put.
That's it. That's.
She fucked you up so bad.
Yeah.
That's the analogy.
You started at Forrest Gump.
That's fucking
that's
amazing.
That's the analogy.
And you ended.
No, that made good. My eyes that water. Good. That was way too
that's
accurate.
That's too good. Wow, Catherine.
So when I admitted that to myself.
That's the best analogy I've ever heard.
I started to go see a sex therapist at that point.
Sure.
And I wanted first wife out of my mind while I'm having sex with people from now on until the day I die. And we did a kind of newish kind of therapy called EMDR.
Yes. I love this.
And after the very first session, I was coming out of my skin. Like I was insane for like a week. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And it was, oh yeah, that's a side effect of like when you first start this.
Right.
But that's all of this trauma coming out again. And you have to cycle through it. You have to let it go. And a lot of anger went with it.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. You probably have a more to say about it, but I think the easiest thing to explain about EMDR is after you go through it, the trauma experience lives less as like a trigger point in your brain and more you watch it like a movie. Is what it was explained to me.
To me, it's not even that. So if I had started answering y'all's questions a year and a half ago, I'd be like, I'd be reliving the whole thing start to finish. Like my stomach would be hurting. I'd be sweating. I might have to throw up. Would probably be shaking. I'd get really mad and have to start pacing around the room. And
that's classic PTSD, by the way, for anyone who's like listening. Like when you're still feeling those same emotions that are reflective of what you felt during that same time, if you're re-talking about something, that means you are unhealed from your PTSD and you're still living through it because that's what your body's response would be in those moments.
Yes.
So that's what that is.
And that kind of trauma, like when it gets you
inside of you
and gets into you and it stays there because you didn't do anything about this traumatic thing in the first place. And you kind of have to answer like, why didn't I do anything?
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, it's like, well, I was being held at gunpoint.
Yeah.
You know, or I was trapped inside of this burning vehicle and didn't die. Mm-hmm. And that simply being trapped makes you relive it over and over. And I was trapped because of manipulation. And ultimately, like, I have to take responsibility for it as well. And that hurts and sucks. But, you know, I think that y'all have had pretty accurate assessments of like what was going on throughout. And it's objectively fucking hilarious to watch this kid fuck up as hard as he did. And
I mean,
I got to tell you,
in hindsight,
the fucking up didn't end with this relationship.
Sure,
I have more stupid stories. Yeah.
Of course you're an expert in fucking up
after that.
Yeah.
I've had so much to learn. It's been so interesting here in my time on Earth. But EMDR therapy helped me to cycle that trauma out. And I feel like 95% lighter than I used to feel.
That's awesome, dude. That's
really
great.
Cool.
That's really good.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
Dude. Yeah. You went from being like, okay, I guess, to being like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at her, but I would encourage people to stay the fuck away from her.
I don't want her to run our country, but no. I would like to see her rise to power in,
sure.
in another country.
Or just in a penitentiary. I think in a penitentiarium. If she was just in prison, she could run.
Dude, yeah, can you imagine her, James like, Mason? She goes to prison. I imagine her going to prison, and then a year later, she's the warden.
She takes it from
how did that happen?
Right.
Yeah.
But it did.
Oh, if they bring back Orange is the New Black, she becomes the ultimate villain in the next one. She rises from within. I love that.
Yeah,
that's
like
beautiful.
That.
That's where her. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is awful. Okay. But
thank
you're in a
you
better
so
place
much.
Now. So here's what we got. Follow up questions.
Okay.
Where are you now, Adam?
Things are good.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, I'm not oblivious in my life. Not as oblivious anyway.
Good.
You know, I have an insanely great girlfriend, Amber.
Who's in here in the room watching.
Yeah. She's
being
trying to
so
make sure that I'm
cool.
not talking to girls.
Yeah. You're doing a very bad
her.
Job of it.
I got her.
Yeah. You got her.
No, I mean, I get to be a grown up now and not such a fucking idiot.
Sure.
You know, I have fun being in a band now. Nobody throws tantrums when I'm on my way out the door to play a gig.
Thank the Lord.
And you're like getting into comedy, right? Like
I'm getting into comedy.
Other aspects of things you want to do in your life.
Honestly, comedy is such good therapy.
Yeah.
When you can spin like this fucking bile into gold and get a pat on the back for it on stage.
Mm-hmm. Feels good.
It feels really good.
Yeah.
And it helps, like, if there's any, like, remainders of any bullshit in there.
Yeah.
It helps to kind of, like, clear it out. But, like, all those things that happen to me are just stories now.
Yeah, it's cool.
They're not things that, like, make me relive the events. It's just a funny, stupid, awful story. But it might as well be somebody else's life.
That's great. That is a good place to be.
Wouldn't y'all like to be there if you've had shit like this happen to you?
Yeah.
To be able to just talk about it without it like hurting you in the present. That's what therapy and specifically EMDR therapy did for me.
Hell yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought up EMDR.
Which is eye movement. What?
There's different things you can do, but I know this is.
I don't remember the DR.
Yeah,
but it's
recovery.
Dick reading.
It's probably dick reading.
Yeah,
you have to
that
look
sounds
at dicks.
Right.
They swing by.
That sounds right.
That's what your ex told you it was. She said, "I'm going to all my EMDR meetings. I gotta look at dicks
so I can stop hurting."
Yeah, what a crazy. Okay, so we're not even gonna try to delve into her. I don't want any follow-ups of, well, she might have been dealing with that. I don't want to hear any of that bullshit.
She certainly was.
Sure, she was definitely.
I don't
want to
minimize that. Her childhood was absolutely fucked up.
Sure. No excuses. Anyway, where you are now, that's great. Here's what we also want for our listeners is what is your favorite type of self-care for someone who's going through some bullshit other than EMDR?
You know, I would have to say that one of the worst parts about what happened to me was having my support group removed by what she was doing and specifically who she was doing it with. Being able to talk to friends who, when they, you know, express like alarm at what you're going through, like we try to take that seriously, you know, like try not, I know it's hard because I've Stockholm syndrome, you know, like I get it. Like you like, well, oh no, they know what they really love me. You know, and this is just how they are sometimes. Like just having a support network of friends is great self-care. Like, and if you have a friend who is going through something like this and you're, you know, kind of talking them through it and they refuse to leave the person like I was, you know, I wouldn't listen to reason. Just be patient with them. Continue to offer them evidence like, hey, here's some perspective on what you're going through, and you can't make them feel like they're going to be abandoned for not listening to the advice.
I have to say, that is so wildly important. And I think that's one of the worst things you can do to a friend is when they're going through stuff and you hit a point of like, well, they're just boy who cried wolf at this point. Like, what am I going to, I've told them patience is so fucking important, because if they abandon you while you're stuck, then the whole point of staying is a lot of it is fear of abandonment to begin with.
Yeah.
And then when your friends abandon you while you're going through it, it's like, if you believe in me, just know I'm coming out on the other side. Be there for me when I do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if not, then fuck, you might keep that person in that bad situation longer than they should be in there.
Now they don't have anybody.
Now they have nobody.
And I felt utterly alone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's.
I felt like I didn't have like another branch to reach out to.
Yep. Yep. And if you're the person who is the support system for that person, I think it's very important to remind them, if it's too much for you to handle, that's when you can reach out and go, hey, I got to tap someone else in.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be there right now. I can't physically handle what Adam's going through, but I don't want to abandon him. Hey, can you tap in, or how can we find resources to help our friend instead of the disappearing, falling off the planet, you know, whatever. I'm going to punish you until you make the right decision.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. So anyway, just want to say remember... that's very important.
Or do you just kind of slip... like hints when they don't realize it. You know what I mean? Like, you just take photos of them cheating and you send them an email from an anonymous source and something like that. And that's like a nice thing for friends to do when it just hasn't really hit home yet. And I feel like a lot of people don't go the extra step sometimes and do those kind of things. And that's where really kind of where our society's fallen off.
And you'd think that there would be more documentation considering everybody's walking around with a camera.
Exactly.
You would think people are like, well, I didn't want to email it to them. I didn't want to mess anything up.
So I just uploaded it to.
We're a little bit more talk, less blackmail.
Yeah.
And I feel like we should get that.
I agree. That's true self-care is blackmail.
Yeah.
All right, okay, Catherine, are you ready for the dumbest question?
Yeah. When your first wife was cheating on you so much and you would see pictures of the other guys, would you rather the hotter ones or the not or hotter than you ones, and why?
You know, that's a really good one, because I saw both.
Sure you did.
And like the...
Some at the same time.
It's a numbers game for you.
The, I don't know. Like, there was something kind of hot about the peg leg guy.
So you're a hotter.
I think so.
You would like a hotter than you. Okay.
Yeah. Even with one leg.
Yeah.
Some people would say hotter. So much for coming on, Lieutenant Dan. It has been... Lieutenant Adam. It has been such a... what a ride with you.
What a ride. What an
it
absolute
has been beautiful
ride.
And infuriating all at the same time.
Yeah,
to hear
it's
your
been a
story.
Lot. It's been a lot. You have a band. Could you tell people how to follow your band, how to support you, all that good stuff? Let the people know.
I have a band called The Pinks, P-I-N-X, and you can find us. You know, look us up on Instagram.
Do it.
Amber and I have a podcast called Checking In.
Cute. Perfect.
And it's a like a book club type podcast where we read self-help books.
Adorable.
For some reason.
Can't imagine.
And
it's a
talk
shocker.
About them.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. We've had a good time with it.
Good.
Beautiful.
And that's available all the places podcasts are available. Hell yeah. Y'all go follow and support Adam. We know he needs it.
Thank you so much.
This has been incredible. Join us in a long goodbye, an annoying goodbye to our fans.
We love you. Stay stabby, toodles. Bye.
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 If you've enjoyed this episode of Cheaties Podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen.
And if you've been cheated on or you have cheated, you've got a cheating story that we want to hear. Leave us a teaser voicemail at 888-STABBY-8. That's 888-782-2298. And hey, while you're at it, why don't you go ahead and follow us on Instagram at Cheaties Podcast. And follow me, Lace Larrabee, at Lace Larrabee. And follow me, Catherine Blanford, at It's Catherine Blanford. Stay stabby.
Go to your ready-made horse. That's all you're good for.